Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Yeah, I owe it to my teachers for everything that I don't know. I should have paid better attention. If I could have been as smart, you know, as John. You know, John is like...
That's Pat.
You know, I was so committed by the time of my second year in college. I was I'm going to learn to read. I mean, you know, I'm going to get this thing down. You know, and it's just amazing that, you know, I was a working person. I wanted to work. Nothing was fast enough. You know, so I wanted to work. And I think God put something on me at an early age. And my dad was a worker. My dad was in the... my grandfather, my dad's dad, was in the lumber business. And so he would go cut down pine trees that they made paper with and all that, you know, in the mills.
Wow.
And so they would take, he would take my uncles into the woods, and they had to work, take off all their clothes and work in their boxers because he didn't want to mess up their overalls and all their stuff. And so now you're in this rough, rugged, wooded area with bees and wasps and stuff.
Yikes.
In your boxers.
Oh, my gosh.
Cutting down trees, loading trucks. And I mean, that's tough, isn't it? That's your teen years. And today is like, oh, I got to take the trash out. Oh, my goodness. It's like, you're not in the woods and your boxers cutting trees. Come on. And so, so it was minor compared when I was coming up by, you know, by the time I was, I don't know, 14 years old, and I was working and I wanted to work.
Right.
And I would catch the city bus and I would ride the bus. I'd have like a, you go to school half a day, some sort of program they had.
Oh, okay.
And then I would catch a bus, and then I would ride the bus all the way to downtown, and then you got to switch another bus, a transfer ticket. You know, I'm only going two blocks, but it takes me 3 hours to get there on the bus. And it's nowhere near the buses that there is today, because I saw all the buses in Jersey. Those are luxury liners. And this is like plastic-seated buses, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so... then I would catch the bus and I would show up and I would work. At that time, I was working at an assisted living facility, and I loved it. It was like having a whole bunch of grandmothers and grandfathers, and I found out that ain't nobody innocent, including, hey, Grandma, I know you're not innocent. Granddaddy. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing? It's like, oh, my goodness, you know, we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus, you know.
At every age, huh?
And I didn't know Jesus back then. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. But, Alzheimer's was not yet diagnosed. And just because something's not diagnosed does not mean it didn't exist.
Right.
You know, and so here we were dealing with, you know, some clients that had Alzheimer's that there was no name for it. Other than, don't do that. Go get her. She's gone again. And so at 14 years old, I'm running all over the place trying to find some clients, because now they put people with Alzheimer's in a secure facility that it's still a normal place to live in, but right. They can't just bust out and just go somewhere, because Alzheimer's, you know, you just forget, you know.
Yeah.
And unlike us.
Yeah, right.
What's going on? Oh, okay. Yeah. VFN Radio.
At what age does that start setting in?
Yeah. I call you know, Ken Summerall, Brother Ken, my spiritual father. We're joking around, you know, some time back, and I said, I was talking to him. I said, hello. He goes, hello. I said, who is this? He goes, I don't know. Well, don't call me no more. He says, well, don't call me. We were so funny. We were talking back and forth. Like, we didn't, it was just funny. You know, the older you get, the more you realize you don't realize. Anyway, so I was working at a young age, and so I would go to work, and then dad got sick, because my father owned this facility, and he had gotten in a hiatal hernia situation and had to go to surgery in New Orleans, Ostner Clinic, and which we know now by the Hurricane Katrina, they had Ostner's Clinic on there. And so at 14 years old, I was just given, I had to run a 40-bed facility with employees shopping for groceries and meal planning and, you know,
wow,
and all that stuff. And I really liked it. It was good. You know, you wish you would have known then what you know now, because you really don't enjoy things as much as you really should have been able to enjoy them. And there was this one lady, I mean, she was you know, everybody would eat. Everybody would have a great time. It was good. It's just like family. Like one big mm-hmm. family. And a lot of their folks, you know, wouldn't come and visit them or, and things like that. But we were their friends and you know, with all their grandson. And so this one lady, she would forget she ate. And so when guests would come out or somebody come and visit somebody, she'd walk up to them and she would chew snuff. So she had a little snuff kind of going down the, you know, because your face gets kind of liney and kind of wrinkly and, you know. And I was just kind of visual there. And so she had like, her snuff was running, like there was like a trench, you know? And so, and that alone was like, ooh. And so she would come out and she would look at these people that were visiting. She goes, "You got some coffee. You got some bread. You got some coffee." I'm like, "Oh my goodness. These people are going to think you're not getting fed." She said, but she was just stuck. Yeah. It didn't bother her. The whole thing is everybody thinks that it bothers the individual, but it doesn't bother the individual because they don't remember. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, it does when you're beginning, you know, you're beginning to, that's very frustrating. Believe me, I can tell you. But finally, when you give in to it, she would come and go, "You got some coffee?" It was like, she would say it just like, you felt like you were back in the Great Depression and she wasn't being fat. It's like, "Got some coffee and some bread and some coffee." It was like the last bit of her air. And you're thinking like, oh my goodness gracious, she just finished some bread pudding, a big pork chop and all that, and she's asking for that. But I really enjoyed that. Some wonderful people, a chance to, and I encourage you, if you're a young person, you know, you're around a lot of people right now that aren't working, they're just not working, and they don't think hard work is important, and they're looking for an entitlement mentality that everything should be given to them. Yep. And they look at their parents and they demand from their parents, "You provide for me," mm-hmm. you know, and they look at the government and saying, "You provide for me," you know, and they look at pastors, and everybody in America is a pastor, although they're not, mm-hmm. they're leaders. Mm-hmm. And they say, "You provide for me." And God's going, "No, you get your own bread. You get That's your right. own bread. You go to the mountaintop yourself." Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you That's don't right. work, you don't eat. And the way to take us captive is to forget about that, how things happen, that it right. comes by hard work.
I can remember when I was, you know, younger, doing the same thing. You know, I used to have a paper route back then when teenagers and young kids were able to do paper routes. And I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, deliver a newspaper, go to school and work after. But you're right. Young generations, like, you got to work. It's not just going to be given to you. And you know what? I grew up knowing the value of a dollar.
Right. No, isn't it amazing? It's like, I worked 3 hours for that thing.
That's right. I don't want that thing. Give me that other thing right there.
What really works, you know, you're asking your parents for $50 and you don't realize they busted their rumpus to be able to get that $50. But when you go bust your own rumpus and you cut 2 yards, you know, and you go buy you a lawnmower to do it, and then, you know, you take that money out of your pocket and you buy that stupid thing, you decide
that
not to. It's like,
yeah, $50 pair of sneakers
right.
tear up the next day.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, you know, when Jared, you know, he always made his own money and, but he went out there and he bought some big PS2 gamer thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that lasted about 1 week. And he's like, "I wasted my money on this thing." Because he realized, you know, how much money it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you never get involved in the process of what it takes to make a seed grow from the soil, mm-hmm. what it makes, what causes a paycheck to enter your parents' hand or people's hand that works, you will never have a value of hard work. And God blesses the work of your hand, not the manipulation of your mouth, you know? And so if we want to be a blessed nation, it's hard working. And really, we just find joy in, you know, I believe it's Ecclesiastes when he talks about it, that it is our lot in our life. God is the gift of a man from God is mm-hmm. to enjoy the work that God has given you mm-hmm. and not right. just be something you're trying to knock out and get. Just enjoy it, mm-hmm. you know, and find something that you enjoy. Find something that you enjoy, and there's the greatest thing of all is do what you do naturally that you enjoy, and then get paid for just enjoying life and work hard at, you know, what you have there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's one of the secrets to success, you know. But either way, I mean, it required hard work, you know, when, you know, I was 14, and it requires hard work now. But I don't, it's not something, if you look at work as something like the teachers in Chicago are looking at, they're tolerating it so they can get their retirement versus like, this is part of my existence. These students are, I want them to, my success is their success and all these different things. Then it's totally different, you know. Sure. And
you're working with purpose. You're working with destiny. You're not just going to a job. I always like to say, like the old Dunkin' Donuts commercials. You ever see those old commercials? The guy gets up, says, "Time to make the donuts."
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like no.
No, I was thinking it's more like this. It's time to do the donuts. It wasn't a singing song.
You're right. I wasn't that excited. But you know what? It's a get-to opportunity. And if you realize that, and as a believer, it's an opportunity to glorify God, you know, in all that we do. So it's influence. It's a way of worship. We could really recapture that word work again and make it more meaningful in our life. And so it's just good. It's just really, really, really good.
And, you know, before we break here, I just want to, you know, encourage yourself, encourage your family, encourage your friends. You know, and if they're like locked down into the mode of their entitlement, where they think that things are given to them, you know, if he or she's your friend, you need to take them in a nice way by their shoulders and look them square in the eye, and then kind of press backwards where their head kind of goes backwards, then jerk them back to you where their head snaps forward. And then push backwards and their head snaps backwards, and you kind of do it a couple times, and then you look at them and it's like, what are you doing? Exactly. This country was built on hard work. You know, God blesses the work of our hands. You know, the reason why you're living in a place, somebody built it. You know what I'm saying? The government didn't build your place. Human beings built it. The mason and the carpenter and the electrician and the plumber and the earth moving person that's moving the dozers and the equipment and the people who came out and inspected it to make sure that it was right and all these different, and the people are involved in that. And if you've been living for a long period of time and you're not getting involved, this is what Paul said. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, he said, listen, this is it. Mm-hmm. If you don't work, you don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't work, mm-hmm. you don't eat. And there's nothing that drives a man, the word of God says this, like hunger.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get hungry. And guess what? Based on what we're seeing prophetically, that we're going to get hungry. We're going to get hungry. And some of us are going to live a little bit longer without getting a craving than others. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like sausage biscuits and... and, you know, I'll live a little bit longer. And Pat will just faint the first day. He'll just faint. He has like no body. He has no body fat. So he'll just fall.
All right.
Storage, no nothing.
Yeah, like a little wind will blow him over, right? Like, we'll be strong for a month. Be strong for a month.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.